I'm sure I know what most of you are thinking. You're thinking, what kind of gospel reading was that? This is supposed to be Christmas. Where is Mary and Joseph riding in on a donkey, knocking on the doors, finding room at the inn, having to go to a manger? Where are the shepherds? Where are the cow? And yet we get this long reading of these different generations. And I think it's actually kind of beautiful that we start off, that Matthew starts off his gospel before he gets to the birth of Christ, speaking of all the generations that led up to Jesus. To put it into perspective, which Matthew's trying to do, he's trying to say that from the very beginning, God had this in mind. From the absolute very beginning, God had this in mind. That there was this division that happened right at the beginning. We know the story of Adam and Eve. And then ever since then, there was this expectation to try to heal that division. And Matthew's trying to point out what that expectation looked like. All these generations, we have this long history, and for some reason, God saw this as the most perfect time to come into the world. Ever since that happened with Adam and Eve, God had planned how he was going to heal it, and it was through his son Jesus, and he needed to have that opportune time. All of Lent, we're speaking of hope, we're speaking of expectation, and you kind of try to imagine what these men thought, the expectation that they had. We're waiting in expectation, and we know what's going to happen. But imagine these prophets who never knew Jesus, just wondering what this restoration of this relationship would look like. As a young priest, I love the prayers that the church writes. I think that they're able to articulate the desires that I have much better than I can myself. Sometimes during Mass, I read one of the prayers that they have, and I'm just really struck by the beauty in which they're able to word it. And to be honest, all of Lent, I've been thinking about this one prayer that the church has. It comes in the preface. So the preface is right before the Eucharistic prayer. It's the part that goes, "The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts, lift them up to the Lord." That's the preface. And there's one line in the preface that has stuck with me all of Advent. It's at the very end. He says that we who watch for that day may inherit the great promise in which we now dare to hope. That we dare to hope. And I spent a lot of time just praying, what is that that we're daring to hope? What are we hoping for? Why are you here? Why did we decorate this church in a beautiful way? You put more effort in coming to Mass today than almost any other day. Why did you dress up nice? Why did you show up early? There's something that we're daring to hope on this day. We may not be able to articulate it, but most of us really know what it is. That at Jesus' birth, there was this expectation that he was going to heal this wound, that he was going to forgive us of our sins, that he was going to restore this relationship, that through this little tiny child, there was this great expectation of what was going to happen. And it's very beautiful that it came in a child, because any other way could have been quite frightening. Pope Benedict, in his last Christmas, 2012, in his homily, he spoke of what it actually meant that Jesus came as a child. He said, "It is as if God is saying, I know my glory can be frightening. I know it can be intimidating, so I'm coming as a child so you can receive it, so you can love it." A child is absolutely helpless. There's nothing frightening about a child. Anyone can pick it up, can care for it, can love it. The child can love you in the same way. That God, to a certain extent, is allowing us to experience his glory by coming into a child, that we could receive it. There was this always expectation that he was going to heal this wound. In the first opening prayer, it talked about that just as we are waiting in expectation right now, so we are waiting an expectation for when Jesus comes again. So yes, we are experiencing Christmas right now. But a lot of that expectation, a lot of that joy, isn't at something in the past. It's something in the future. It's the joy that this relationship is healed. It's the joy that Jesus came down. He was born as a child. He gave us his teaching. He suffered, died, was buried, rose, and ascended into heaven. And because of that, our relationship is healed, which should be a great joy for us. That is what we dare to hope. We dare to hope to be able to partake in that relationship because Jesus healed it. That is what we're daring to hope. So today is Christmas. It's a beautiful thing that in our relationship with God, we kind of rely on him being able to act. If God didn't reveal himself, we wouldn't really know anything. We could guess a little bit, but we just really wouldn't know. But he has acted today, this evening. He came into the world. He has acted, and it demands a response from us. We can't just be indifferent. We can't just think this as a fantasy story. But it's something in which we are called to partake in a very real way. That if we do dare to hope, if we do want to be saved, then it demands a response by ourselves. So I encourage you to take this Christmas as a very real experience. To dive ever more fully into that relationship which Jesus is offering with us. To let it grow, let it develop. Because it's much easier to hope in something in which you know. If you don't know it, it's hard to know what that looks like. So throughout this next year, let Christmas be the beginning of growing this relationship so we can be ever more confident in what we dare to hope.